God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Are you aware what's happened over the weekend to a bunch of conservative social media people and talk show hosts? They were swatted. Juanita Broderick was swatted. She, of course, is someone who says she was raped by Bill Clinton, and I believe her. So swatting is this. There is a call. If it's a very sophisticated job, they spoof someone's phone number. So when the police receive the call, it looks like it's coming from that person. And they say something like this. There's armed invaders in our house. They're killing everybody. Send the police. And the police come over believing that that's going on, and they roll what's called heavy. So SWAT teams. And if it's another tactic they use, they might say, I'm holding my family captive. I'm going to kill them all. Come now. Are you? Might be a woman. If it's a man they're targeting, who makes a phone call, my husband's gone insane. He's got our kids here. He's got a gun. He's killed all our pets. So the police understandably roll up, prepared for the worst, SWAT teams and ARs. And the goal, of course, is number one, to scare conservatives into stopping expressing themselves. It's terrorism. Obviously, this is a political end. It's terrifying a civilian populace for political needs, political ends. That is the actual definition of terrorism. Also, as a bonus to the people who do this, is a possibility that these conservatives are killed by police, or maybe they take a cop with them. Wouldn't that be good? How do you get to that point? Now, you can have people say about January 6th, well, let me ask you, how did they get to that point? The rioters? The 99% of people who were peaceful and the rioters? They got to that point through crowd psychology. Some of them intended to do that. They were punished. And they spent time in solitary confinement. For me, in my mind, people who assaulted cops on that day deserve a good amount of prison time. None of them were given, well, not that's not true. Many of them were given no due process, never got to go to trial. So I don't defend it. People who assaulted cops, I don't defend. I'm a realist. I watched the video of the police launching flashbangs and tear gas into the crowd before the crowd had done anything. I'm a realist. Looked to me that they wanted that. I'm a realist. I know that there were D.C. police there who were helping people climb the barricades and climb up the scaffolding to get into the building. I know there were operatives there who were telling people to go into the White or into the Capitol. I know that President Trump offered 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol, and the people who either went in to do violence or lost their minds and did it, well, they deserve punishment. Swatting is different. It's not a crime of immediate passion. This isn't where the emotions have run wild. It requires forward thinking, research. You have to know where the person lives. If you want to do a good job of swatting, it's helpful to spoof the phone number of the person. So therefore, it's not a snap reaction, but it is, I think, the result of trauma. I mean this. There is something called the bioemotional scale. So it is the emotional tolerance version of pain tolerance. Some people can stand more physical pain than others. Some people can stand more emotional pain than others. Sometimes it's specific. For instance, I can go soak in an Idaho river on a 14-degree day, and the river might be 36, maybe 38 degrees if we're lucky. If I'm with buddies, I can go out, walk into that river, talk with them, and soak for 10 minutes. I'm fine. However, sitting in a sauna for 10 minutes, it's very difficult for me to stay in a sauna beyond 5 minutes. Can't stand it. Likewise with emotions. Some people's emotions are less recoverable. And on the bioemotional scale, I believe there are people who have been made not quite insane, but almost there, by continually being told, you are living in Nazi Germany right now. Donald Trump is literally Hitler. He's going to set up camps and he's going to come and see same-sex attracted kids and young people. He's going to put them in camps. He's going to get women who don't want to be pregnant and make them get pregnant, and it's going to be the Handmaid's Tale. And while he's doing this, he is also going to start World War III. Now, those things aren't true. But when you've been emotionally battered and you are on a certain spectrum of the bioemotional scale, you can become that traumatized. Of course, the Democrats have also welcomed in their party insane people. They did this by featuring insane ideas. Trans women are women. In other words, men are women. That is an insane idea. That welcomes insane people into your party. And this is not necessarily accidental. Every single revolution, cultural revolution in history, has featured the use of insane people, because sometimes you need people who will do insane things. So from the top of the Democrat Party on down, there's a confluence of tactics that have added up to this weekend of swatting. One such Democrat. Here's Maxine Waters doubling down on her violent rhetoric. Remember when it was, go get in their faces?
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
What is he doing to cause the civil war? Let's think. He had vitally dangerous South American cartel heads put into our country to deal in drugs and human flesh. He had them removed. Man, that's Civil War stuff. He has allowed computer programming experts to build software that is crawling the federal government's many, many, many records looking for financial improprieties, and they're finding hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of them, maybe even a trillion. That's truly Hitler. He's shutting down the Department of Education, perhaps, a department that has overseen a massive decline in the educational health of America's children. That in and of itself is obviously Hitler. But when you've been told this time and again, and you believe it, it's real to you. Most people are never going to go out and swat folks. I have dear friends who are convinced we're in the end times. They're not Christian. End times politically. This is it. America's over because Hitler. So no good for me saying, oh, you're wrong. I just have to try to be there as a friend. But other people who are different on that bioemotional scale, they're going to do other things, like SWAT people. Joe Pags is a very famous conservative talk show host who got swatted the other night, and here's his response.
So I waited a couple of days because I didn't want to put this out there yesterday and put fuel in the fire and maybe give somebody some oxygen who's trying to get some publicity out of this. But we were swatted 2 nights ago at my house. Now, the good thing is I'm up until about 5 o'clock in the morning. This happened at 2:35 a.m. And we have cameras around the house. Some you can see, some you can't. So if you're a bad guy out there, you're not going to see where they all are. That's not how you solve problems. How you solve problems is you break it down, you discuss it, you vote. You get people in there that you want. This is not how you do it. It's actually pretty disgusting, to be honest with you.
So, praise God, Pegs is okay. But they had armed men in front of his house, armed men behind his house. He was smart and called 911 and said, hey, it's Joe Pegs. Here's where I live. Here's what I do. Do you have the police at my property? And 911 said, yeah, we do. And they also had the so-called complainant on the phone. Now, the hope here is that someone gets out of hand and that someone shoots somebody. And the primary hope, as I said, was to have people like Peg stop speaking out. It's not going to work. I hope. Oh, I don't think they're going to stop speaking out. I don't believe that for 5 seconds. What I hope doesn't happen is that someone's trigger finger gets hot. Praise God for restraint so far. Sean Farash, host of Ungoverned, and was also recently swatted. He describes this pattern happening across the United States.
Hey guys, it's Sean, my wife Brennan, and I just wanted to give you guys an update. We did just get swatted here in Tennessee. The officer said they received a phone call that somebody murdered somebody in the house and was planning a suicide by cop. So I received the call with that information. We cooperated with police. They were very nice.
They were actually very nice.
Very, very nice. They were not aware that this was going on across the country. But was that, you know, what? How did you feel about that? What was going through your head when you saw officers in the backyard with guns?
I was shaking. I was terrified. I was the only one awake. He was asleep.
Yeah.
And they were just pointing their guns into the house. And I was very scared. I was very scared.
And that's the point. And that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to silence folks who are not afraid to speak their mind online.
That's the point. Now, again, some of this is a natural response to literally Hitler. Like this, here's what we're told is now literally Hitler. This is Barack Obama announcing his Doge department in 2011, and he put Joe Biden in charge of it.
Everyone knows that getting rid of the deficit will require some tough decisions, and that includes cutting back on billions of dollars in programs that a lot of people care about. But what should be easy is getting rid of the pointless waste and stupid spending that doesn't benefit anybody. Waste we should be getting rid of, even if we didn't have a deficit. Sure, some of these cuts aren't that big, but no amount of waste is acceptable. Not when it's your money. Not at a time when so many Americans are already cutting back. Just as families are living within their means, government should too. Did you know the federal government pays for a website devoted to a folk music ensemble made up of forest rangers? They're called the Fiddlin' Foresters. I'll put their music on my iPod, but I'm not paying for their website. And there are hundreds of similar sites that we should consolidate or just get rid of. By the way, you're not only paying for websites no one needs, you're paying for thousands of buildings all across the country no one uses. For the last decade, the government's owned a massive and completely empty warehouse in the middle of Brooklyn, for example. Now, the government hadn't been able to sell this building and others like it because of red tape and Washington politics that held things up for years. But we're finally cutting through all that and plan to get rid of these buildings in the months ahead. We need to step up our game. We need to go after every dime. We need to make government work for you. That's why, starting today, I've asked the Vice President to lead a renewed effort to hunt down misspent tax dollars in every agency and department of this government. We're calling it the Campaign to Cut Waste.
Because he went on to say, no one messes with Joe. No one swatted anybody. The Mockingbird media did not come along and say, this is literally Hitler. Well, one of the reasons why is because not any of them were serious. Barack Obama wasn't serious about cutting any actual spending. Joe Biden couldn't because his family exists on grift. But look now at the emotional abuse rained down upon people and what it's done to them. I give you two examples of people being pushed to what I think is levels of insanity or spiritual capture, and they're probably just otherwise normal women. We'll get to that. Plus, we'll go be in the world and not of it, an attack against Christian homeschoolers being launched by a very, very, very rich company. We'll talk about that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Thanks for listening to Disciples of View. Remember, you can get these programs on demand. Go to AFR.net and become a monthly supporter. Tax-deductible donation allows us to work God's word into the news, and live radio is special that way because people will accidentally tune in to AFR. Might be in the rental car, might be in a car with mom or dad, or grandma, grandpa, or friends, and they may not know that God's word applies to the news. They not yet may not walk with the Lord. So as we hear, as people hear accidentally sometimes God's word applied, then all the better. And the hosts here, who are far more skilled at it than I, have been doing this for so long that they've also armed an army of disciples who can speak God's word into the news with their friends and their family. We're going to get to some things internationally that relate to our country. It has to do with what American media is not covering, but Great Britain TV is. But just carrying off from the last segment quickly, I was talking about the bioemotional scale. This is like people's pain tolerance. There's physical pain tolerance. Some people can tolerate more physical pain of certain sorts. Others can't. This is the same with emotions. Some people have real problems dealing with, let's say, rejection or doubt or fear. There are a portion of society that I contend Democrats have successfully broken. And there are people who are deeply afraid, and I can understand being afraid. I can understand being afraid of a president. I had a deep, deep sense of doom with Barack Hussein Obama as president. And to this day, I think that he did a very, very good job of destroying America. Very good. Just think of Obamacare. They claim 30 million people got health care. They never like to talk about the canceled plans or the fact that people's $2,500 deductible, $250 a month insurance is now a $15,000 deductible and $2,500 per month insurance. That's not getting health care. That's being prevented from having any health care done. So I had a deep foreboding about Barack Obama, and that was just the tip of the fear of him and what he was going to do. Well, here we are. Barack Obama now is pulling strings behind the scenes, but he has no persuasive power with young Democrats at all. We made it through that. Praise God. I hope that when these awful things that these people think are going to happen with President Trump don't happen, I hope they'll see this as an opportunity to reflect. Now, some of these things are happening. There are criminal gangs being deported, cartel members being deported. That's happening. There are government agencies being shut down. And if that's your fear and that's your dread, then I hope that you'll wait a year after the Department of Education is gone and realize it didn't change a thing about your kid's school. Not a thing. And if it did change a thing, then you have a better opportunity to have the school you want for your kids. Why? Because local control is back. But for some people, they've been so broken, and I think it's an onslaught of dishonest media telling people that Elon Musk is a literal Nazi. He did a Nazi salute, after all, and look at him Nazi-ing his way through the federal bureaucracy. It's not grounded in truth. God tells us we shall not lie. There is no hope of us being rescued by Washington, D.C. The only hope is in Jesus. And the things that people think are coming, such as the concentration camps for same-sex attracted kids, aren't. But people who believe this and are in a bad place in the bioemotional scale, they can end up in some bizarre, bizarre areas. Here, a dance teacher seems to be begging for someone to take the life of President Trump. She can't quite say it because she's got dance classes to teach.
All right, guys, we're about 6 weeks in. Who's going to do it? Who's going to take one for the team and do it? And I'm not going to say what it is, because I know that you know that I know what we're all thinking. Who's going to do it? It can't be me. I'm a dance teacher. I got things to do. But somebody's got to do it. Someone's got to take one for the team. Because we're 6 weeks in. I can't do 4 more years of this, guys.
There is a thing also psychologically. We've been talking about the bioemotional scale. You know about emotional projection? where you project your emotion onto others. Some of these people on this placement on the bioemotional scale who are so traumatized by the media telling them time and time and time again, every single day, that's literal Hitler with literal Hitler Jr. Some of them have gotten to the point where they are calling, as she just did, I think cleverly, she's trying to be clever, for assassination. They've gotten to a point that seems very possessed. They've gotten to a point where they're seeking an assassination. But this emotional projection, they would be the people who would tell you they fear Trump supporters because Trump supporters are very violent. The emotional projection being this. When these people learn about things that President Trump is doing, programs that are being cut or threatened to be cut, that he is pushing for peace between Ukraine and Russia. He had a 90-minute phone call apparently with Vladimir Putin that is releasing the JFK documents, that he has passed executive orders, or rather written out executive orders, that the federal government is not going to pretend men are women, that when they hear these things and they're on this placement of the bioemotional scale, they also project their emotions onto MAGA or Trump supporters or even people who are reluctant Trump supporters. They feel violent inside, these leftists. So they may be emotionally projecting to say they feel violent inside. This is another liberal woman who suggests that the cartels should assassinate President Trump.
This message is for the cartel. We didn't ask for this. We don't want any problems with you. Honestly, I was a big fan of your products in my 20s, okay? I had a lot of fun. But might I suggest breaking the rules, get high on your own supply, and the man you're looking for lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Maybe pay him a little visit.
She's a big fan of the cartel's products. Does she mean the trafficking of human beings, sexually and otherwise? Or maybe she just means drugs. Oh, that's funny. She's very funny lady. Emotionally projecting, maybe? Afraid of Trump supporters because in her heart is murder? You shall not murder. Lord Jesus tells us if you are thinking of harming your neighbor, you've done it. If you're thinking of murder of someone, you've done it. I mean, he raised the bar. What's going on in the Democrat Party with, I think, making a lot of people very, very emotionally damaged has also, I think, welcomed people in who really do not understand how spiritually captured they are. Because, of course, the Democrat Party became a party that wanted to promote Satanism. Not kind of, literally. They were welcoming Satanists into the party. They had Satanists serving in office. In important positions. Open Satanists. There is a war. Now, us, who are Christians, we cannot respond with violence, with swatting, as we talked about in the first segment today, that is, fraudulently sending the police to someone's house, hoping that someone gets killed. We can't do these things. Others can, we can't, because of who we serve, Jesus Christ. We also cannot give in to fear. We're told so many times in the Bible, do not fear, you're going to face troubles in this world. Isaiah warned about people who call evil good and good evil. He warned about these times. Well, here we are in these times. The international media is doing a better job of governing some things than the Mockingbird media in the United States. This shouldn't surprise us. Because we've been taught time and again that, oh, well, we have the free media in America. Do we? Alex Armstrong of GBTV is covering what the Mockingbird media chooses to ignore.
From my perspective, an intifada against Christian people across parts of the Middle East, across parts of Africa. 4,500 Christians were killed last year, 69% of them in Nigeria. There is definitely an intifada against Christian people happening in that country. That is without a doubt happening. And we're blind to it because it's not convenient politically for specific politicians on the left to talk about that because it will upset certain preferences, let's put it that way, certain groups that the Labour Party may not want to talk about. David Lammy has failed to address the fact there is Christian persecution happening across the Middle East and across parts of Africa.
Just this morning, some EU members were bragging about giving a bunch of money to Syria. Yeah, it was Syria that just carried out this, there were one country that carried out the massive, massive murder of Christians. And the EU members were bragging about that. Now, that is a very physical war. Of course, I see spiritual battles in it, don't you? The attempt to eliminate Christians so they eliminate disciple makers. I mean, it's a very spiritual thing. There's a different form of attack happening in the United States. Andrew Breitbart famously said that politics is downstream of culture. There's a cultural attack against homeschooling. Here's a YouTuber mocking homeschool Christian kids.
Hello. Greetings, everybody. My name is Obadiah Jebediah. That's all one word. And no, you may not shorten that to OJ. Mother is right across the street protesting Harry Potter books at the local library, and she suggested that I come over here and play with your neighborhood children. A little bit about me. I was the last child of all of my siblings to stop breastfeeding, so at least full time. How many dozen siblings do you all have? I hope I'm not behaving like too much of a 15th child right now. Please do not pass me the ball. My hands bruise when I catch or pick up things. Such a good day for this. May we please pause the game? I might need to duck into the bushes for a little pants all the way down tinkle.
Gosh, I wish I was still allowed to watch my VeggieTales VHS tapes, but unfortunately, my mom suspected that Junior Asparagus might turn me gay, so darn it.
That's just like every homeschool kid, isn't it? I don't know that that man's ever met a homeschooled kid. There are awkward homeschooled kids. There are awkward government school kids. There are awkward human beings of adult age who came out of college programs. Such as humanity. There is a war against homeschooling. Ben and Jerry's is helping to push this. There is a bill in Illinois that could allow officials to basically interrogate homeschool parents to make sure that they are teaching the right way. This comes from LifeSite News. Illinois homeschool advocates and supporters of private education are warning about a bill in the Illinois House that can involve the invasion of personal privacy and lead to government intrusion into the rights of parents to educate their children. It's based on model legislation supported by a Massachusetts group that also warns about parental rights extremism and Christian fundamentalism. Illinois House Bill 2827 would create new requirements for homeschooling families to report their educational activities to the authorities, according to the Homeschool Defense Association. And this is what the bill says, because you can read the bill. So they want parents to have to report to their betters, so their betters can make sure that they're teaching kids the right way. Ben and Jerry's is backing this. Ben and Jerry's is against homeschooling? Hippies are famous for homeschooling and unschooling. Why would Ben and Jerry's? It must be racism. It must be racism. Well, but wait a minute. There's been a massive growth in non-white homeschoolers. It's now 59% white, 41% non-white. The biggest growth in that's in black families. Sometimes it's because they believe there's racism in the schools, and there might be. Racism is a sin issue. It's going to continue until the new heaven and the new earth. It might also be because they saw what was being done to their kids' minds and souls. That might be why. And in many cases, we know that's why. Ben and Jerry's almost certainly hates the fact that Christians can educate their kids at home in Christian style, because they fear Christian fundamentalists and parental rights extremists. What would a Christian fundamentalist do? What is the most fundamentalist activity of a Christian? Would it be turning the other cheek? Loving the Lord your God with your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself? Following Romans 13 to obey the authorities unless the authorities tell you to do something that violates God's word? Going and making disciples? So that we can then love one another more effectively in the body of Christ, inviting people to learn about the good news of redemption and eternity with God. That's fundamental Christian, or that's Christian fundamentalism right there. I mean, if you want to be just honest about the word fundamental beliefs. What is a parent's right extremist in regard to education? I would guess that to Ben and Jerry's and the people who run it, parental rights extremism is the right to tell your kids that the biblical view of marriage is the correct one. We know this because it's God's view. We know that we are to love people who have committed the sin of fornication or adultery, same-sex activity, even as we condemn the sin. So Ben and Jerry's fears a nation of homeschooled Christians maybe because of this. A 2015 study found that black homeschooled students to be scoring 23 to 42% points above black public school students. 78% of peer-reviewed studies on academic achievement show homeschooled students perform statistically significantly better than those in institutional schools. Home-educated students typically score above average on the SAT and ACT college test scores. And this data just continues. So is it that they want less educated Christians? I think it's they want no Christianity in the schools at all, not even in homeschools. We'll come back under Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note here in just a bit. Let's clean up on a little bit of business we didn't get to before now. Tom Holman got emotional when he talked about what so-called Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has done to get in the way of ICE working in her state.
Now let's talk about the green light law. Let's talk about your governor. Your governor who stayed on national TV after NYPD were assaulted by illegal alien gang members. You had a woman burned alive by illegal alien subway. Your governor stands on national TV. I think criminal aliens should be deported. What's one of the first things she do? She goes down to New York City and tries to fire the mayor who wants to help me find public safety threats. Let me give a shout out to Mayor Adams. Like him or love him. I called him up for 2 years by not doing enough. As a career cop, he wasn't doing enough. But when I sat down with him back in November, he came to the table. He wanted to help on significant public safety threats. He don't want to be an immigration officer. I don't want to be an immigration officer. But the mere fact he wants to get us into Rikers Island, where people are locked up because they committed a crime, he wanted to get federal immigration authorities back into Rikers Island to talk to illegal aliens who committed a crime against a citizen.
Tom Holman getting emotional gives me comfort. I mean, I don't want emotional decision-making at the federal government level, or really any government level. I want it to be constitutional, number one. Well, no, number one, I want it to be godly. Number two, I want it to be constitutional. Number three, I want it to be rational. Well, all those things are true. Is it godly? Is Holman's emotion there godly? We can have godly frustration. We can even have godly anger at situations. God is a God of law and order. And there are too many people who live in the secular world who just ignore this fact. Well, first of all, believing you live in a secular world is ignoring reality. You live in a world you didn't create. You have access to food you didn't create. Even if you grew it, you didn't create it. You have access to water. Even if you filtered it, you didn't create it. When people pretend they live in this secular world or they believe they do, sometimes they don't understand that God is so evidently a God of order. First of all, his word was deeply about ordered. When the Hebrew people were taken out of Egypt, they had forgotten how to live their own lives. They'd been a slave class. They'd forgotten how to govern themselves because all decisions were made for them, so God had to reteach them. And he kept showing law upon law upon law. Oh, you don't get this, you don't get that. And of course, it was a precursor to the coming of Jesus so that God could say, do you remember that you could not keep the law, even though I wrote to you in exquisite detail? It took me so long, so much reading to not be bothered by God giving these exact measurements on the temple, how the temple should be constructed, with what materials, and how many feet here, and how many feet there, and at what angle, and what sort of wood. And I would think of this, and I'd say, gosh, God, I know you can't be busy because you are omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I know you can't be busy, but wow, all this detail. And then I realized, of course, we can't do it. Even when he says, here is how to wake up in the morning, we can't do it. And still he loves us. God is a God of law and order. He gave us the law. Then through Moses's father-in-law, God availed him of the fact that, hey, Moses, you can't be the judge of all Israel. You need to split up some duties here. You need to have distributed government, in other words, law and order. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, law and order. The way the planets orbit the sun, law and order, or at least order. Well, no, those are physical laws, the laws of physics, as it were. So when Tom Holman is showing this frustration about what has been allowed to go on with immigration, people whose lives were taken from them in brutal ways, never intended to happen because those people never should have been in the country, it's ungodly that they were allowed into the country. God is a God of law and order, not chaos. The other side of the spiritual equation is chaotic. He will take the tiniest opening and he will use it as a toehold and then make it a stronghold, an opening like this. Well, you know what? You know what? Let's just break immigration law a little bit, because there's some really good people and we can't get them into the country, honestly. So let's break the law a little bit. You know what Satan does then? Is he comes in and goes, wow, you're a really good person. You took a real risk. You stood up and it felt good, didn't it? It's like so many forms of transgressions. Hey, you got away with it. Took a little money from the till and got away with it. You're a young kid working at a restaurant. You gave your friends free food. Hey, you got away with it. Felt good. Dopamine hit. Societal dopamine hits. We're the good people. We're sanctuary cities. We're the good people. We're the good guys. It's a societal dopamine hit. And there's Satan going, you really are the good people. Look at those terrible Republicans who want to send migrants home because they're brown. Not because they are desperately bad criminals. And we're going to make mistakes. That's an awful thing. But when you are lenient, when you should have been firm, eventually you'll be cruel when you should have been kind. God is a God of law and order, not chaos. Tom Holman has a right to feel that emotion. And it can be godly frustration. On this program, as frustrating as it can be, we actually thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated, but there's also a burger element to this.
My Lord. You remember those days? Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Stacey Plaskett, a non-voting member of Congress from the U.S. Virgin Islands, has had enough of Elon Musk and Doge.
And you know what? This place is broken because Congress has abdicated its responsibility to be the ones to find that race fraud and abuse and to do something different about it. We're letting somebody who's unelected, who's an auditor, now he's an auditor? Is he everything? Is he God? To be able to do what he wants to do with the American people. It's got to stop. I yield back.
Let us reflect. Let us reflect. How many elections did Tony Fauci win when he said to a nation of people, it puts the needle in its skin if it wants to work again, and I am science itself. I don't remember him winning an election. On the topic of, is Elon Musk God? It's your party who said, wait, God made you a boy? No, he didn't. And if he did, he screwed it all up. You're actually a girl. Interesting. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, wants to remind everyone that Germany supports free speech, but just not right-wing speech.
On the question of the dealing of Elon Musk, I had a lot of things to comment in the past because he was discussing a lot about Europe. And just to repeat what I already said, we have the freedom of speech in Europe and in Germany. Everyone can say what he wants, even if he is a billionaire. And what we do not accept is if this is supporting extreme right positions. And this is what I would like to repeat again.
Okay, let's have you repeat it, but in question and answer form. Define extreme. Define it. Well, it is extreme to call for the death of other human beings. Great, agreed. Is that right wing? They can't defend these ideas. Last soundbite, and it's a weird one. I admit it, it's a weird one in today's Tower Babbling. Here's Canada's new PM removing any chance of being scrutinized in public by demanding all microphones be shut off during a steelworker event. He also refused to take questions after. Let's see, they can't ask him questions. He's just getting into his armored SUV. Is this because no microphones, no questions? Now, part of this is because there wasn't this thing called elections. See, Justin Trudeau did a very clever thing when he stepped down. They delayed and they delayed and they delayed and they delayed until there wasn't a really an election. They just got to poof, insert new prime minister. Installed, as it were. Because that will bring trust back to the system. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I was really honored the other day to have one of my ideas accepted for the youth group, one of the youth groups with which I work. And my idea was this, that in the time that I've served in this particular youth group, I have met two of my students' fathers. Two. And each time I arrange that. Now, men work. And they're busy and they feed their families. Praise God. And two. In almost 4 years. And things get busy and you don't always have the time to pop by church. But two fathers. Now, there are plenty of fathers who would say, well, you know, it actually never occurred to me that I would go meet you. I mean, you spend a couple hours a week with my son. So I guess it never occurred to me. Fair enough. But I'm also spiritually guiding your son, leading him in important matters, eternal matters. It might be worthwhile for us to shake hands, but this is on me and us. We have not really said, come. So I've been working with the team, the leaders. It's so cool. We have young people leading the youth ministry. So I'm asking permission to do things from people who are in their early 30s. They're my bosses. I love that. Humility. Plus, they understand youth in ways I can't. So we sat down, we had this discussion, and there was actually another gray-haired person there, like me, when we had this discussion. And something just, boom, crashed down upon my heart just prior to the meeting. I mean, we were going to have fathers come, and my idea was, I want you to hear about some great things about your son. Because so often when dads or moms get a note from the so-called authorities, it's, hey, you know, we've got a problem and your son, and come down to the principal's office. And we get an opportunity to say, can I tell you some light I see in your son? Some ways in which he adds to our group, sure, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Sometimes your son is inappropriate, as all the boys are. But here's some bright spots. But then one boy in particular came to mind. He doesn't know his dad. He knows who he is. He would probably recognize him if he saw him, probably. He sees pictures from time to time. His dad lives in another state. And his dad has had some real challenges. Criminal justice challenges, chemical challenges. And this boy vacillates between, I love my dad, I pray for him, to, I never want to see that man. I don't care. So when we're sitting down to this meeting, it occurred to me, what about the fatherless boys? Now, people at that meeting wiser than me came up with this idea, you know what, this is a great chance to get more men serving the youth group, to let them know there are boys who didn't come to this event because they don't have fathers, or they don't know their fathers. They're absentee, great idea. See, wise counsel, men wiser than me, receiving God's direction. But then God spoke to me. Ask the boy. Ask the boy. So the boy I was thinking about, I went and asked at youth group. I said, I need your advice. And the look on his face, first it was clownish. I said, no, I seriously need your advice. Okay. I walk over. He's so funny. He looks around, make sure there's no one looking. And I asked him, we're going to do an event for dads and sons. And I don't think it's likely that your dad's going to come to this. What should we do? And he said this. And this is going to break me up, guys. Sorry. He asked me if I would take him. If you want your country back, guys, go bring God to your kids. The kids of this world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak His Word. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben of Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.